The Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, then go. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. It is so good to be gathered with so many this morning. Returning parishioners, family, visitors, guests, a very, very warm and happy welcome to you. Matthew, the author of this Easter account, imagines the resurrection in powerful, action-oriented, almost Thor-like terms. Earthquake, supernal being, lightning, bad guys quaking like leaves. In thinking about the sermon for today, I wondered if in some ways the resurrection itself can feel similar. Jesus as superhero, with elements to it that don't seem very real. Well, Christians do call the resurrection the central mystery of faith. We can't prove it. It's a bit beyond our mind's grasp, and yet something very real happened, something so real that the women and the other disciples ended up risking life and limb, many of them dying, so that we even have this Easter account from Matthew, who was part of a thriving Christian community and wrote this 40 years after this tomb encounter, 40 years. And in addition to the extraordinary elements, there are also elements in Matthew's account that nobody would include who wanted to gain anything or get this story out, especially in terms of credibility. Because women, after all, are the main witnesses in this account and in all of them, really. And in Jesus' era, women didn't really count. When it came to the public realm, they counted in the household in their own realm, but not in politics or religion or in public life. So to spread such an important message as the resurrection, you'd think that God might use the most credible people, people with authority, people who were trustworthy, good reputations, and not society's lowest ranking, kind of hidden people, women. So it's rather odd, actually, that women are the first witnesses. And because it's odd, there's really a ring of authenticity to it, I think. It also gives us a glimpse of the upside-downness of the God behind the resurrection, a God whose central act on earth is to be executed as criminal. Cross, tool of execution. A God whose presence makes soldiers cower, but who tells women, do not fear. It's not that the soldiers were bad guys or anything. They were merely doing their duty at the behest of the Roman governor, the Roman soldiers. And the Roman governor was urged by the religious leaders. Side note, Judaism wasn't the bad guy either. It's not only Judaism in which people trust more in rules or ideals than in God. That's the danger for all religions, including ours. Soldiers are present because the time in which Jesus lived was marked by military occupation of Israel, by violence and uprisings and wars. Makes you wonder if there's any time on earth that hasn't been marked by such things. I don't think so. We live in a time of violence and a lot of hatred and terror. Those recent images of the chemical attacks in Syria and the continual streams of refugees have been heartbreaking to see, not to mention the Palm Sunday bombings in Egypt. In a world in which power tends to end up terrifying, Matthew declares that God's power is greater. Matthew bears witness to this greater power through the earthquake and the dazzling angel and the upset of the soldiers. Matthew, it's like Matthew saying, can anything stand in the way of God? Nope, not even death. But God's might and power is so different, an upside-down kind of power that's unexpected. It's not the power of human strength, physical strength. It's not the power of heroes or heroic leaders, even of greatness or of justice. None of those. God's might looks like crucifixion. It looks like hidden people as the primary witnesses. It looks like forgiveness. Note that Jesus already speaks his forgiveness in the message that he asks the women to bear. The angel has told them, go quickly and tell his disciples. Jesus says, go quickly and tell my brothers, who all fled and were part of the crucifixion. I love that Jesus doesn't seem to be able to follow the angel's instruction in this gospel. Remember, the angel tells the women that Jesus, go ahead to Galilee, Jesus will be seen in Galilee. But then Jesus immediately upends this and greets the women right there, like he can't help himself but be with them and greet them. Jesus, in Matthew, is called Emmanuel, God with us. Just as Jesus will soon tell the disciples in Galilee that he will be with them to the end of the age, here Jesus is with the women as they run with fear and joy. God with us. At his birth, the foreign wise men bowed, and now at his rising, the women bow as this sign of God with us. So, what does this mean for us, for you? Well, what it meant for me recently was a sense of courage when I was sitting at the deathbed of a dear colleague and friend, Bert, a man I respected, brilliant musician, had a lot of affection for, who drove me a bit crazy at times, and I think the feeling was mutual too sometimes. What the resurrection means is that the night that he died, just a couple of weeks ago, sitting and watching the ugliness of death, I was able to stay with him, sit next to him, pull up some hymn lyrics on my phone, and sing all of the Easter hymns that we're going to sing today and that we have been singing for him and for myself. And by singing all of those alleluias, for the moment, I was able to send the power of fear and sadness and grief reeling. What does this resurrection mean for us? We also experience fear in our world, about our nation. We fear what our children and our grandchildren will inherit. We are given the same promise and greeting by the risen Christ. You are forgiven, dear brothers and sisters, today and every day. You and I, deserter, denier, one who thinks of yourself as the ultimate power most of the time, are called brother and sister by the Lord. And you are also met by the risen Christ, just as the women were, now, today, through the word, and in the meal. See, every Sunday, this place and wherever Christians meet becomes Galilee, where the risen Christ meets us, saying, "Do not be afraid." The powers of this world, of our sin, and even of death itself cannot stand in the way of God in the end. For Christ is risen.
He is risen.